Camelot Whistleblower Radio, and tonight we have a very interesting guest. But before we go to that, I just want to announce that if you haven't already seen a million notices or emails about this, that we do have a TV show. The pilot that we shot, I don't know if it's 2 years or 3 years ago. It might even be 3 years ago. It's so crazy. But at any rate, we shot a pilot for True TV, and it was supposed to be a backup show to the Jesse Ventura conspiracy theory, only in our case it went into the ET question, so to speak. And it is called Shadow Operations, and this episode is called The Mars Project. And it's airing tonight at 8 p.m., so it's going to actually start on the Pacific Coast, from what I understand, at least for the high-def people. And, people with high-def TVs, I really don't understand how True schedules their things, and I couldn't get a straight answer about it. So all I can tell you, it's either on at 8 p.m. Pacific time and 11 p.m. Eastern time, or it's at 11 p.m. Pacific time also. So, and what I don't know is what it is in Eastern time after that, maybe 11 to 12, 12 to 1, 1 to 2, I don't know, 3, I don't really know. So it's on tonight. And it's a bizarre saga, and it's on the front page of Project Camelot. So if you're listening to me and you didn't know we had a TV show, like I said, we shot this 2 or 3 years ago. It's been sitting on a shelf. They finally decided to release it. They didn't notify us. We just found out because by a coincidence, one of our loyal followers saw the listing on True TV and had seen the stuff we'd written on the blogs about it, and put two and two together and realized that indeed the show was our show and it was finally airing. So they let us know. And since then, we've been doing, I guess it's the last 12 hours, we've been trying to do a really quick ad campaign to get people to watch it, because the way they decide whether a television pilot goes to series is by, obviously, the ratings. And we had been warned a long time ago, once they put this on the shelf, that they hide these kinds of things. They'll do a pilot, and they need to put it out there for the advertisers, but they didn't do any advance advertising that we know of. They didn't let us know, which is, I think, against some rules in terms of our agreements with our agents, with the network, et cetera. But who's counting, right? So they didn't give us any advance notice. We just found out by accident. And so by accident, I'm letting you know, and I'm asking if you would support Project Camelot. And even if you listen to this TV show, I mean to this radio show, that you go and watch the TV show on True TV instead of listening to this radio show at 8 p.m. Pacific time, if indeed it is playing as they say it is. And I know it sounds crazy for me to say that, but we're looking for ratings, and what those ratings will give us is the possible shot at a TV series, and that will get the information on Project Camelot that the world so desperately needs in order to make intelligent decisions about the future. They need to find out the reality beneath the matrix, and indeed Camelot has been on the forefront of that fight to get the truth out for at least 7 years at this point. So I'd appreciate that if anyone's listening to do that, and then if you have friends and family, you can also let them know. The other thing we're also encouraging people to do, of course, is to tape it, to make copies of it, so that people that miss the show will be able to see it. And I have no doubt that it will probably go viral at some point after the showing, and then show up at, sort of illegally in various places. I'm not going to name the particular places. And that's fine with us if that's what's happening. So let's see. That's the update. And again, go to the front page of Project Camelot, and you'll see actually still from the TV show that I'm pretty sure is illegal for me to have had, but I did have it, and I did release it. And it's actually a very good show. It really has it has Gordon Neville, who's passed on, in great form, and you'll be wondering how it is he could be dying 2 or 3 years after that. after he was on the show. And then he's also, Brian O'Leary has died since the time he shot his segment of the show. And but we still have David Wilcock and Bob Dean. We've got Andy Bishago and numerous others on the show. It's really pretty impressive, the people that are on the show. So I do encourage you to watch it. I call it Disclosure in a Box. I think for all intents and purposes, for mainstream consensus reality, that's exactly what it is. People that have never heard of anything to do with Mars and black projects, et cetera, are going to get an earful, no doubt about it, and have their minds pried open, let's put it that way, in a good way. So enough about that. Now I just want to introduce Bruce Fenton. He is coming on my show. He's apparently a supernatural researcher for the last 15 years. He is a gifted psychic. He's a webmaster, and his website is 2012rising.com. He's also written a book called 2012 Rising, The Last Zulkin. And we're going to find out more about what that means. His partner, Daniela Cardenas, and actually I don't know if Daniela will be on this call, so I'm going to find that out. But apparently they work together, and I think they wrote the book together. So we'll find out more about that just by asking Bruce. So Bruce, are you here with me on the call?
I am indeed, Kerry, and thank you for having us on. Daniela is sort of here in the background in case there's anything that she sort of has to reply to. Although, you know, I'm sort of the main spokesperson, if you like, for the book, just because
okay.
I've past experience with interviews and whatnot. But yeah, she is here in the background.
All right. Well, awesome. And you know, I'm sorry that this whole drama with our television show has happened on top of the radio show. It's actually, you know, truly bizarre. We couldn't even get a straight answer as to the real time when the show is airing. But it's one of those things we're going through. What is, I think it's Mercury retrograde now that we've had the election. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, I saw the, you know, the thing you had on the website. You know, like you, I was quite amazed that, you know, that True TV didn't think to perhaps let you know so that you could let all thousands of people that go to your website, you know, watch it. So it does strike me as incredibly bizarre that they wouldn't have thought to sort of say, can you promote this?
Yeah. Well, and then promoted it themselves. But this is, they do this when they want to kill a show. That's they're intent on killing the show. They have been for, you know, going on 2 years now, ever since it was shot, because obviously it became, what's contained in that show is like I said, more or less Disclosure in a Box. So the fact that it's making it on TV, albeit in this really odd fashion, is it at least sort of testimony to a change somewhere in the, I don't know if you want to say the cosmos, the powers that be, maybe the sort of back channels of power, the boardrooms where arguments take place and different opinions hold sway for certain periods of time. We basically thought they were going to just leave it on the shelf. We didn't think they were ever going to release it. After sort of petitioning them for a full year to try to get that to happen. So lo and behold, 2 years later, it is now hitting the airwaves without any advance notice at all. In fact, our agent didn't know, and neither did the producer of the show. So there you go.
And not to mention, of course, that it's buried under the fact that we just had the election, just to help, you know, make sure people aren't taking any notice of it.
Yeah, maybe they're hoping everyone's going out drinking, either in celebration or misery, depending on which candidate you backed, if you believe in horse races of that kind, rigged ones, that is.
That's right, which I don't really. I mean, the best vote in that would have been that nobody voted and just
right.
Voted the whole thing was a joke, you know. Just
yeah, that would be interesting. At least that maybe they'd get the message that we no longer believe in their version of reality if
right.
They would all just boycott the damn thing and admit that, you know, hey, this is a dictatorship, and we realize that.
Yes.
So at this moment, what I want to do, though, is make a transition into your material, and I know people will be very interested in what you have to say. I do apologize that I haven't had a chance to read your book. I do want to read your book, and so I'm really happy to have it, and I encourage people to do so. But I'm going to let you introduce your book and yourself. So can you first talk about how you got into what you're into now, and possibly your, you know, cover your partner's since she helped write the book, from what I can tell. You know, and tell me why you were stimulated to get involved in doing this.
Certainly, yes. I mean, I suppose originally what took me into this kind of out of the box area of our reality was sort of spontaneous psychic happenings from the age of 15. So I suppose really that's for me how it started, and also an interest in what I call the unexplained mysteries, such things as, of course, the building of the pyramids and the crystal skulls. Nazca lines, you know, some of these, you know, bigger, you know, well-known sort of mysteries, both modern and ancient. So that's how I sort of came into it. And then from around about 20, I'm 35 now, from around 20 I began to be more serious and was spending most of my time studying everything from the, you know, the global conspiracy to mysticism, the occult, and of course, you know, these ancient mysteries and psychism. So really across the board, I mean, most of the subjects really that, you know, you cover and your other guests cover, I mean, pretty much any of them, you know, I've spent some time looking into. The reason why I became more focused, if you like, on 2012 and this, you know, the ending of the Maya calendar was a personal event that happened to me back in 2002, which was extremely radical, despite having had psychic happenings and supernatural happenings. I was actually sitting at a computer talking online to a friend, both in a chat room for a spiritualist organisation called Hafani Coed, which is a spiritual development centre in Wales in the UK. And we were literally just in the middle of a conversation, tapping away, when suddenly I found myself instead floating above a jungle scene, flying towards a white stepped pyramid. This was, you know, a classic out of body, if you like, or astral type experience. And my friend Tracy also found herself there. We could not see each other, so clearly, you know, this wasn't what we call a bodily experience. You know, it was just simply our consciousness. But it, in all intents and purposes, it felt extremely real, as though, you know, you were flying in a helicopter over the jungle. And as I approached this step pyramid, I was able to pick up sort of details about it. That it was, well, the most obvious thing was that it was brand new. It was shining white, you know, cut and dressed stone, unlike any, you know, Maya step pyramids such as we see today. And I noted that I could sense that there was a secret tunnel inside of it, that it was a beacon for the local people. Whilst Tracy, they sort of relayed to me what she experienced, was that she actually picked up the date of being 675 AD. There was a man on top of this pyramid who was, I would say, you know, shamanic looking, in that, you know, his attire was almost rather like a sort of medicine man's attire, gesticulating and saying something, but I can't remember any sound from this experience. And then we were sort of just suddenly back in our bodies, in our separate rooms, and able to sort of, you know, compare notes as to what had happened. And it was Tracy that said to me that she felt this experience was specifically meant for me, is what she'd picked up. At the time, I had no understanding of why that was, having had no great, you know, interest in the Maya, more so in the Egyptians and such, much probably like most of us, with the Great Pyramids. But of course, having had something so peculiar happen, I then became, you know, really interested in, you know, these temples and where this might have been and why it might have happened. And that's really what led me into the whole, you know, research of the Maya prophecies, the Maya calendar, and their temples and, you know, society. Alongside ongoing what I'd call conspiracy and supernatural research. So really it became a sort of a special focus amongst my other studies. And in the course of the last 10 years, you know, I've gathered obviously quite a lot of information on that and managed to converse with many of the well-known researchers, you know, such as, I guess, Jeff Stray and John Major Jenkins and, you know, a few of the others out there. So, I mean, in my website, so I was kind of gathered some of that together, and also my own opinions and you know, other interesting tidbits along the way. So that's kind of the background to sort of how it came about. So it was, you know, a radical, supernormal happening amongst various psychic and supernormal happenings that I'd had in my life. The book kind of is a mixture of my research on that show. It covers the prophecies, particularly, of course, the Maya prophecies, but also Hopi prophecies and the prophecies of the Rainbow Warriors, as well as, you know, a fairly in-depth look at the Mayan calendars, the shorter count, the 260-day count, which is the Dzogchen, which is mentioned, of course, in the book title, The Last Dzogchen, which is, so the final sort of 260 days, and also the, you know, the long count, which gives us this end date of 21st December 2012. I then sort of go on in the book to also analyse the galactic alignment, which I'm sure that most of your listeners are familiar with from sort of John Major Jenkins' work, the rising of the solstice sun towards the galactic centre on the winter solstice, and as well as looking at cosmic climate change, which I know, of course, you know, your friend David Wilcock has looked at quite a lot as well. It's such that we cover, and of course the ongoing magnetic field reversal, as well as an axial pole shift. And lastly, the galactic superwave theory and how that might activate DNA. So that entire first section of the book, of those subjects, really is based on several years of research, you know, with much of which can be found on my website, which has existed for the last sort of 5 or 6 years. But it's been put into a much more detailed, you know, and I guess structured manner in the book. So hopefully, you know, readers, you know, people interested in those subjects will find those helpful. The second section really goes into perhaps the more, I suppose we call it the more strange stuff.
Okay, thank you for that great overview, and we'll get into some questions about that and continue after this break. Thank you.
On a daily basis? Do you struggle to complete tasks, feel nervous in social settings, or are you losing sleep because of anxiety, worry, or health concerns? Let me tell you about a breakthrough discovery that changed my life. My name is Kirsten, and anxiety plagued me daily. I listened to the wonderful testimonials about RNA drops and decided to use them myself, beginning gradually from just a few drops to the recommended dosage. I'm happy to report that I experienced a significant decrease of anxiety, and that was just the beginning. After you hear the incredible stories at GetMyRNA.com, you can get a free trial-sized bottle valued at $50. Just pay shipping and handling. Again, that's GetMyRNA.com for your free trial-sized bottle today. Nothing is as important as feeling good again. Supplies are limited, so visit GetMyRNA.com right now.
Or see our ad on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. RNA drops.
What would you do if you or someone that you love was faced with a life-threatening illness? My name is Matthew David Hurtado, co-host of Transcension Radio on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. In 2008, I lost everything because of chronic illness, my home, a bankruptcy, even my marriage. A miracle happened in 2009. I discovered ION and I was introduced to the RNA drops. Within a few short months, the nightmare of chronic fatigue, Lyme's disease, and PTSD was a faded memory. Today, people all over the world have reported incredible testimonials about their transcension process, and I invite you to listen and join us live on air every Saturday at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. Transcension airs live. You can listen to the archives or tell someone that you love, maybe even the person sitting in your chair right now, that science fiction has become virtual reality at Transcension Radio. Take your power back and join us every Saturday at Transcension Radio.
Just look at us. Everything is backwards. Everything is upside down. Doctors destroy health, lawyers destroy justice, universities destroy knowledge, governments destroy freedom, the major media destroys information, and religions destroy spirituality. I think there's more to know here.
What's ever hear about in this country is our differences. That's all the media and the politicians are ever talking about, the things that separate us, things that make us different from one another. That's the way the ruling class operates in any society. They try to divide the rest of the people. They keep the lower and the middle classes fighting with each other so that they, the rich, can run off with all the money. Fairly simple thing happens to work. If you know anything different, that's what they're going to talk about. Race, religion, ethnic and national background, jobs, income, education, social status, sexuality, anything they can do, keep us fighting with each other so that they can keep going to the bank.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Van, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month, I completely vanished.
Usually, you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Yo, what's up? Check this out.
The voice of the revolution. American Freedom Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Listen to Time for Hemp, hosted by Casper Leach. Afternoons, Monday through Friday, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Central. Only on American Freedom Radio.
Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we're talking to Bruce Fenton about his new book, 2012 Rising. And Bruce, you were just talking about, I think, the first half. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I divided the book into two distinct sections. The first one really is what I'd call the necessary background information and research for people that aren't familiar with, you know, the whole reasoning as to why the end of 2012 is looked at as being potentially very important and potentially, you know, radical changes and all the rest of it. So that's the first section, what people might call the technical data, as well as the prophecies and the calendar itself, the Myers. The second section is more the, what I suppose we'd call the supernormal and the messages, the warnings, the more, I guess, difficult to accept for people with a very kind of, I guess, more mainstream thinking, you know, who don't believe there's any such thing as, of course, sort of supernatural events or psychic powers and all the rest of it. So that's why I've kind of divided it. So I know there's some people who may never read past the first section and others who will only read the second section. So I've tried to make it easy for people.
Right. Okay. So what? But if you were to detail it the way you did, at least in overview, the second half, and then we could kind of drill down a little deeper into the whole thing. That would probably be helpful for people.
Certainly, yes. And I think, you know, probably a lot of the listeners here would be more inclined towards the second part, in that I know that many of them have heard, of course, guests of yours talking about the prophecies and the various events that are going on, as I mentioned, the sort of cosmic climate change and magnetic pole reversals, which I know that you've covered. The second section really opens with my trip to Egypt, I'd say, which was with one of your past guests, Richard Gabriel. Well, he was present. I mean, I sort of went there on my own, but he and Judith are sort of friends of mine. They were out there doing their own work. They took me to what I consider to be one of the most important sites in Egypt, which is, well, actually on your tour, I know you're going to, which is Abu Ghraib, which anyone out there that's planning to go on your tour should, you know, take special note of, because, you know, that is actually a, you know, Stargate location. I didn't know at the time. I can honestly say that, you know, I hadn't encountered that information. But we actually did conduct a Stargate opening there, sort of a meditative chanting type activity, which was very spontaneous. It was something that just emerged in us whilst we were at the site in the evening in a private session there. And it was this event that really leads to a lot of the second half of the book, in that, although I didn't actually think, you know, if I'm totally honest, I didn't think much had happened other than that, we picked up information about the site. We felt that it was around 15,000 years old. This is from psychic sensing. That there is a facility or remains of a facility under the ground there. That if you sort of drop your consciousness downwards, you find that there's chambers there with what seems to be remnants of technology. So it was clear to us that this was an exceptionally important site in the ancient world, back in the times of course, long lost Atlantis and Lemuria and all these cultures that we speak of now. At the time after that, there was no, if I'm honest, there was no, flashing beams of light or aliens landing or nothing that would say to you, wow, we've opened a Stargate. But, I had this strange sort of inner sense to sort of look up at the stars. And I noticed that the Pleiades cluster actually rises in a kind of alignment with the entranceway to Abu Ghraib. And it was, I sort of found myself strangely drawn to these stars. And actually began sort of speaking to them. I mean, it's very peculiar. So I'd never had any great fascination with the Pleiades, but I found myself sort of asking to these stars, why have you guys left us here? Why don't you come back to help? I had a loose awareness, of course, that from ufology that there are a group of beings people call the Pleiadians. Again, I hadn't had special interest in them, but this I found was really emotional. It was though I felt I had a connection to this place. It was some time after this, actually, about. This was in November 2011. I was out there for sort of the 11/11 time. But it was actually in February that we began to have some very peculiar events occur, specifically February the 1st, which it actually was my fiancée, Daniela, that began to have these experiences. And it was a kind of, I suppose I'd have to say the most similar thing would be an abduction, a sort of somewhere between abduction and channeling, in that she found herself, after having gone to bed, after having a few drinks, so not in any particular focused meditative, state, being drawn into a altered state of consciousness and pulled literally sort of through the wall, feeling as though her molecules of her body were literally dragged quite painfully through the wall, and found herself in a kind of conference that there were a group of beings talking and one central figure, all of whom were unusually tall, and were relaying to her all kinds of information about events that were ahead of us, and talking about not giving in to the forces of sort of darkness, the new world order type forces, and also things people should do to prepare for a coming event. And this actually went on for about 3 hours. Fortunately, some of this she was actually mumbling in this sort of unconscious or semi-conscious state. And me being, the type of chap I am, I quickly jotted down on my laptop anything I could make out by sort of literally putting my ear to her mouth. The next day, I sort of questioned her as to, did you remember anything? I didn't want to sort of give too much away. I mean, I guess my experience of sort of research always tells me not to, to prompt people too much. So I just asked, could you remember anything that strange had happened? And she then sort of relayed to me this experience and what she could remember of it. And fortunately, between the two of us, what she remembered and what I'd written down, we were able to put together a cognizant recollection of exactly what this was all about. The really peculiar aspect is that much of what she said is in line with Hopi prophecy and other ancient prophecies that I know of, including such events as the coming of three suns and a magnetic event which could turn off all of our electricity. There was other events in there, which including the book, which were in line with what I know as being known prophecies. She, however, had not studied any of these, and it's probably important to clarify that whilst I was doing all the rest of my research, my other experiences, we were not together. We only physically met each other in 2012. We'd previously been sort of online contacts in the past, but not about my research, just as friends. So none of this was sort of prompted by me or by her, being here. So it was all extremely peculiar, and it was only after that we sort of put two and two together in a tarot reading, actually, where she picked up that I had asked for this experience to happen, which initially I was sort of quite adamant that I certainly hadn't. I hadn't asked aliens to drag someone through the wall and start telling them about coming events. But of course then my mind drew back to the experiences at Abu Ghraib, and having deliberately asked for help from these Pleiadians.
be careful what you wish for, huh?
Exactly. You know, because of course, when you're dealing with aliens, their response is alien to us. So it's not as simple as them, you know, shooting me an email saying, you know, thanks for the request, you know, help's on its way, or, you know, it was a really unexpected, bizarre happening, you know, 3 months later, and not happening to me, but you know, to my now fiance. So that's how the second half of the book really gets going, is with this, the answer, if you like, from this a Stargate opening event that we did in Egypt. These have then continued on, and we've had now months of these events. Except the first one differs in as that it was in a space which we can only assume was maybe another dimension or another planet. It certainly wasn't, you know, a conference happening in normal space and normal Earth. Whereas the subsequent, I suppose, again, you know, the most similar thing is abductions, because we haven't asked for these things to happen. But the subsequent experiences have actually been that she is taken back to a past life where she inhabits a different physical body, which is, we can only assume, is her past life body, and that she finds herself in the Maya city of Palenque in the Yucatan, and the timing is the 7th century. So there's links back into, as I say, how my own experiences began with the Maya and the 2012. She finds herself in 7th century Palenque. But of course, there's an obvious, you know, tie-in that 10 years later, you know, my partner is being taken back to a place that I was taken to 10 years ago, but that I failed to gain any significant information. And this has later been explained in the experiences, that I was considered not having a strong enough mind and strong enough psychic abilities to make the merging with my past life self, who was actually the man on top of the temple that I observed. But, so 10 years later, they have now begun these time travel abductions with my fiance and twin flame, who is energetically again compatible with this experience that they want to happen of taking someone back to give them information. And so now they've focused on her instead of me. The information she's gaining from there, of course, is startling, because, you know, whereas today we have lost most of the Maya information, we don't even have a real Maya calendar. We just have this Aztec sunstone that people always, of course, bandy around as a Maya calendar, but that's all we have to show. Back then, there were, you know, of course, dozens, as she says, she's seen dozens of different types of calendars there, mostly in an underground area below the city of Palenque, which, in all honesty, we have no reason to believe is not still sealed and still containing most of the things she's seen. These calendars depict events going back into the far past, into the far future, and, you know, what was happening then and now. There's also calendars there which can only be read by people that are psychically gifted. You literally run your finger around a groove, a spiral groove, and the information is transmitted into your mind. So, I mean, there's advanced technologies there. And the reason for that, which I suppose is the most important part to explain, is that these Pleiadians who are carrying out these time travel, astral abduction type experiences, they are there, and they're physically there. They are inhabiting parts of Palenque. It mostly, what she sees is hybrids. The Pleiadian, pure Pleiadians, seem to be contacting them from what we assume is an off-world facility, whether that means from another, you know, a star system, or whether from an orbiting ship is not as yet clear, that we may well find out later as these experiences continue. But certainly Lord Hanabakal, the king of Palenque, is himself a hybrid. And anyone that's familiar with Palenque and the famous Lid of Bacal, which, of course, Eric von Daniken made famous with his claims that it was a space vehicle, which we would agree with now, this tomb of his contains a sarcophagus which allows for a body of around 2.5 meters or 7.5 feet. So it was built for someone who was extremely tall for a Maya. Probably some of your listeners will be aware that the Maya people, even today, let alone back then, were short. They were certainly would have been extremely abnormal to have anyone even of 6 foot, let alone, you know, 7.5 foot. So these were not normal beings that were leading this city. Alongside them are our old friends or frenemies, I guess you call the Greys, particularly a group of tall Greys, who are even taller than these Pleiadian hybrids, and they are, in their own words, sort of monstrous. You have these beings which are around 3 meters tall, quite aggressive and carrying out horrific experiments on humans down in these vaults and experimental areas, and working in a truce with the Pleiadians, although there's a clear difference in agendas between the two.
Okay, well, that's a very, you know, interesting material, obviously. Let me ask you this. In terms of sort of the downloads, or however you kind of frame it, that mm-hmm. you and your partner have gotten, how did you discriminate between that, you know, sort of the possibility that you may be being sort of taken for a ride, et cetera, et cetera? How do you discern whether you're getting truth or not?
Well, I suppose part of it is that certainly with prediction-wise, I mean, we have made a few predictions over the last year based on some of the information we've had, also our own senses, you know, if I'm honest as well, being sort of intuitive. But we have, you know, actually predicted a number of large earthquakes, for instance, which we've publicly done on Twitter and Facebook. So we know that certainly aspects of the information that we've tested, you know, have been accurate. Also with the experiences themselves, because you're sort of there, you know, if you like, you're seeing it. Unlike channeling, which, of course, I mean, I think we all realize that channeling, you know, can be very good and very accurate, but it is open to the ego or the person's own state of mind as to how they interpret it. And, of course, you know, you'd be very well aware that the CIA have technologies which can replicate channeling. I mean, I know that even decades ago, they were able to do such things as put a tooth in someone's mouth and transmit signals to them. So I mean, that kind of, you know, channeling, I've always been a bit hesitant with. But when you're there in terms of your consciousness, I don't know of a technology, I'm not saying they don't exist, but that can make you have that experience. So, I mean, when you're seeing the things yourself and you're seeing the calendars, you know, you're seeing the temples, then really you are taking the information directly from a visual experience rather than someone giving you that information, which of course is, as you say, you know, is open to being taken for a ride, which is why I felt confident enough to put this in a book. I think that if it had been information appearing in my mind or in my, you know, my fiance's mind, I would have been a lot more hesitant, because, you know, I am well aware that the CIA can do it.
Okay, we're going to go to a break, obviously. We'll be right back.
Are chemtrail geoengineering programs changing our weather and destroying our environment? Why in the world are they spraying?
They want to create a storm in the southeast, then they'll start engineering out over the North Pacific. That's where the trailies will be.
Find out why critics are calling Why in the World Are They Spraying the most important film that is revolutionizing the environmental movement. Go to whyintheworldarethespraying.com for more information.
It's just going to get worse until the point where we're not going to be able to grow anything at all unless it's a Monsanto genetically modified abiotic stress resistant seed.
Why in the World Are They Spraying? New international version with languages available from around the world. Go to whyintheworldarethespraying.com for more information.
It's all about money, and weather is another form of commoditizing, a way the Central Command Group can commoditize another form of our life.
Why in the world are they spraying?
And if you control the weather, you're going to control the planet. It's that simple.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. BlueShield comes in 3 models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about BlueShield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the BlueShield banner. BlueShield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Now, there's one thing you might have noticed I don't complain about. Politicians. Everybody complains about politicians. Everybody says they suck.
Yeah!
Well, where do people think these politicians come from? They don't fall out of the sky. They don't pass through a membrane from another reality. They come from American parents and American families, American homes, American schools, American churches, American businesses, and American universities, and they're elected by American citizens. This is the best we can do, folks. This is what we have to offer. It's what our system produces. Garbage in, garbage out. If you have selfish, ignorant citizens, you're going to get selfish, ignorant leaders. And term limits ain't going to do you any good. You're just going to wind up with a brand new bunch of selfish, ignorant Americans. So maybe it's not the politicians who suck. Maybe something else sucks around here. Like the public.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
You're listening to the future of talk. American Freedom Radio. This is American Freedom Radio.
Hi, everybody. I'm Christopher Green. Make sure to tune in to Green Wave Radio every Tuesday and Thursday from 3 to 5 p.m. Central on American Freedom Radio. Hard-hitting and in-your-face, America.
Now I've been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come. And I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world of
fun. Hi there. This is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio, and we're talking to Bruce Fenton about his and his partner's experiences with channeling, with what he calls the last Zolk'in, which I guess, if I understand it correctly, is the last 260 days of a certain period of time, according to the Mayan calendar, correct?
Yes, essentially, yeah. I mean, I'm focused on a period of 260 days, really running up to the 31st of March 2013, which some Mayan orders have kind of noted as being the birth of the fifth sun.
I see. Okay, well... It's we are still in the midst of the whole thing at any rate. And I did hear, you know, I do understand your sort of explanation as to how you sort of determine what's truth from falsity, et cetera. And that's the biggest sort of dilemma that I think people have. And I don't know that just because you do see certain things, in other words, you have an out of body experience, et cetera, et cetera. Certainly it's very real for you, but there's no doubt whatsoever that gray technology allows them to put people in holograms of all kinds and give them implanted memories, et cetera, et cetera. So I would say that that's probably no indication, that you can be certain that something so-called happened or is real versus something that may be implanted. It simply may be impossible to tell the difference. You know, at a certain point. After that, you kind of have to discern the information you're getting and whether or not it, you know, is sort of can be validated in other sources. In other words, that's kind of where you might triangulate your information and find out for sure whether something is actually legitimate. But with that in mind, can you talk about what you're seeing or what you have seen now in terms of what you're revealing in your book, and you're, you know, you're welcome to give your website out from time to time during this conversation, and then we'll try to take questions towards the end of the show too. But talking about what you in essence were shown, if you want to look at it like that, about the future.
Yes, certainly. Just quickly as well, just a little to what you've said. I mean, of course, when we're dealing with advanced races, be it the Pleiadians or the Greys, I mean, we are dealing with civilizations with technologies and spiritual understandings in some cases way beyond the average person on Earth, of course. So, I mean, there's always a degree of the unknown involved. I should add as well for your listeners, to those who are sort of weighing up, you know, whether they can be open to believing, one aspect that's probably important to note is what I physically see, which, because of course, generally Daniela's having the experiences and I'm there in the room. So one of the important notes is, I mean, I've seen, you know, awake with black eyes from interactions with the Greys, who are violent to her in that life. They are generally trying to attack her, to stop her from seeing certain areas. I've seen her head being bent backwards, and I've physically pushed her head back into place where they're trying to twist her neck. I've had, you know, we've had her talking in a strange language, which to me sounds Mayan. I've recorded hours of these conversations, her sides of a conversation in a language which, as I say, it sounds Mayan, but I couldn't tell you if it wasn't, you know, alien, you know, a Pleiadian or something, but it's certainly not, you know, English or Spanish, which are the languages, you know, we speak here. So, I mean, there is external evidence beyond, you know, the normal in terms of that, certainly she shouldn't know this language if this isn't a past life experience. Of course, we've not translated these, and we are wary of just forwarding, you know, these transcripts to people because we don't know what they say and we don't know whose hands that would end up in. So unless we could sit in a, you know, with somebody who can translate for us Mayan, you know, we're very hesitant, I'm sure you can understand, just to sort of forward these things around. But so we do, I mean, I do have personal kind of, you know, like external physical evidence that something very peculiar is happening. But moving beyond that, so to the experiences themselves, again, there's a clear structure going on at Palenque. From the first experience, she finds herself walking into a meeting underground at Palenque. In this meeting, there are a group of very tall men who are around about 7 foot, with this leader who is around 7.5 foot, who we now identify as Hannah Bacow. They are having a conference as to a strategy for an upcoming conflict. And there is a disagreement between two factions there as to whether or not they should be in this agreement with these tall Greys. The tall Greys have been essentially allowed to set up a lab at Palenque so that they can make hybrid soldiers. Some of the leadership do not agree with this. They don't trust these tall Greys. They feel that they're going to betray them, and they would rather try to win this conflict without the help of these Greys. The technologies being allowed, one thing is notable is that at no point does she see what I would call advanced weaponry. You know, so whether the contracts between races don't allow for that is not being made clear yet, but what is allowed is genetic manipulation. And the tall Greys seem especially good at this, and they've been brought in and allowed to work there on an agreement that they can have an area to themselves where they can carry out other projects as long as they provide technologies to these hybrids and their Mayan faction for fighting an upcoming war. So this is where it kind of starts, and the idea of how we see why these Greys are even allowed there, because, you know, they are, as we say, very unpleasant. And I think even today, most people who look at, you know, ufology will say that, you know, both the tall Greys and the short Greys typically aren't very nice. I mean, the short Greys are involved even today in, you know, abduction and genetic manipulation. So there's a tradition of this, and you can see going back at least to then, and I would say going way back into the past. For those who aren't too familiar with the tall Greys, I mean, one thing that she's noted is the way they talk. It's a kind of screeching sound, but amongst that, we've identified a language that sounds awfully like ancient Sumerian. So again, there's this link back to when we look at the ancient Sumerian culture, of course, but that seems to have been originated by an alien race. I think anyone who's looked seriously at Sumerians can see that it's replete with so much
iconography depicting aliens and, you know, star systems and all the rest, that it's very hard not to assume that the Sumerians were, at the very least, in contact with an alien race. So it's quite notable that these tall greys seem to speak a screeching Sumerian language. They are intent, as she finds out, they are intent on stealing technology from the Vidians. So, I mean, they do have their own agenda. One of the things they're particularly after, though, are the crystal skulls. And there are a number of these crystal skulls at Palenque in underground areas. Again, we have no reason to believe that they are not there today, although they could have been removed, of course, in the centuries that have followed. But it's particularly these crystal skulls that the Greys want. And from what we can make out from these experiences that Daniel's having, it's because they feel that there is a way of aligning these or using these which is involved in making Earth changes happen faster or slower, that, you know, they can help modify our environment on Earth. And these tall greys, obviously, I imagine, want them for their own, you know, nefarious purposes, whereas they have been used traditionally for more helpful purposes. There are other races that have been seen there by Daniela. There's another humanoid race that look very human, which have arrived at different times, seem to want to help the Pleiadians with different projects. And the tall greys, you know, she has seen with short greys and on occasion lizard type. So, I mean, there is a, you know, there's a division of factions of different races that are working together. But whilst they're there, there seems to be a kind of peace treaty which holds up generally, although, you know, everyone has their own agenda. And, you know, I wouldn't for a moment say that even those that seem very benevolent, you know, don't have an agenda. And with the information that we get, everyone, of course, has to be aware that even very positive-seeming alien civilizations, you know, if they're interacting here on Earth with us, we should always keep in mind that they perhaps have their own agenda, and that even if it's that they generally want us to benefit, they probably are benefiting themselves in some way, that, you know, we can't assume that any race is totally, totally benevolent to us.
Okay, well, yeah, and that's, it's great to hear you say that. Maybe I, please correct me if I'm wrong, it sounds as though, and I would be happy to hear from Daniela. Are we going to a break again?
Sorry, that was a mobile. I didn't realize we were in the room.
We are actually going to have a break in 5 minutes or less. So I'll kind of be fast about this, and then we can pick it up on the other side of the hour. But I wanted to say that Daniela is welcome to speak up and also express her own sort of experiences from more of an inner place in terms of what she's seeing, but it sounds as though you're actually seeing what is in essence a negative, a couple of negative races discussing things. Am I wrong?
Well, there's certainly a division.
Service to self, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Really, you've got the service to self mob there, and the service to others mob. You know, so we've got the Pleiadians and these other humans who seem to be generally benevolent, although they have their own agendas. And then the division is with the greys and these lizard types who, you know, we see as being very negative, and that really have only been allowed there to share certain technologies that would benefit the other side. And I think, you know, as it progresses, it becomes clear it's a deal that the service to other side becomes to regret, because inevitably they are betrayed.
Right. Okay, now we are going to go to a break, and we'll be right back at the other side of the hour. This one is a bit longer than usual, the top of the hour break, and so we will be right back with Bruce Fenton and Daniela about 2012 Rising. Thank you.
Narcotics.
Freedom.
Oh, yes. I like very much
radio. You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
What would you do if you or someone that you love was faced with a life-threatening illness? My name is Matthew David Hurtado, co-host of Transcension Radio on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. In 2008, I lost everything because of chronic illness, my home, a bankruptcy, even my marriage. A miracle happened in 2009. I discovered ION and I was introduced to the RNA drops. Within a few short months, the nightmare of chronic fatigue, Lyme disease, and PTSD was a faded memory. Today, people all over the world have reported incredible testimonials about their transcension process, and I invite you to listen and join us live on air every Saturday at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. Transcension airs live. You can listen to the archives or tell someone that you love, maybe even the person sitting in your chair right now, that science fiction has become virtual reality at Transcension Radio. Take your power back and join us every Saturday at Transcension Radio.
I'm down south recently. I'm playing a town. This is absolutely true. It was in all the papers. It was on CNN. Apparently, everyone in this town saw these UFOs. And I'm curious. I asked people what it was like. Oh, man, it was incredible. Incredible. People came from miles around to look at them. A lot of people came armed.
Excuse me?
People are bringing shotguns to UFO sightings. Don't you think there's a point where we're going to drop the weapons? I mean, the mothership comes. Maybe we don't know everything. Not like some intergalactic skeet shoot. Ah, there goes one out. Bringing shotguns to UFO sightings, man. It kind of brings whole new meaning to that phrase. You ain't from around here, are you, boy? So I said to the guy, I go, why do y'all bring shotguns to UFO sightings? He said, well, we don't want to be abducted. I'm thinking, yeah, and leave all this. He said, huh?
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Van, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly. Within days, the episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
No rules, no rules, no taboo topics, no taboo topics, no fear of doom, no fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio, American Freedom Radio.
This is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio. And I've got a strange thing happening with the earphones or something going on with, I don't know if it's happening for other people where the sound is suddenly bouncing out really loud. but maybe it's my earphones that's happening on. So it looks like we've got our show, just to make an announcement here, that the show is airing on True TV right now as I speak. So, you know, people that are listening to this radio show can actually listen to it after the fact. So I want to encourage you to go and listen or watch the TV show, because we do need the ratings that live listeners can give us to go to series and make more radio shows and more Camelot, everything possible, and will ultimately help even this radio station if we become as well known as in the mainstream as we are in the alternative world, when we are super fringe in a certain sense. But meanwhile, I'm here, and we're going to continue. But again, I say our show is airing right now on True TV, and so if you're able to go watch it, I believe it's going to rebroadcast at 3 a.m. in the morning. And I think that's both Pacific and I think perhaps it's also going to air 3 a.m. Eastern time. But I really don't understand the way True TV does their times, their listings. But if you have True TV, you can make sense of it. And we have sent out and posted on the blog all the links to get to the right place to look at their listings, etc. Okay, so thank you for listening and enjoy the show. And meanwhile, Bruce, this will be a broadcast. You know, it will go on to you. To our MP3 and be on American Freedom Radio. So don't worry, you're going to have plenty of listeners regardless. Many of my listeners do come in after the fact anyway. So just wanted to sort of, so you don't get completely disheartened by what I'm saying here. Very unusual set of circumstances. Have to apologize for what's going on here.
No, I mean, that's no problem at all. I mean, if I was in your position, I would certainly be encouraging my listeners to go and watch the TV show.
So. I mean, you know, it's a one-shot deal, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, so to speak.
Yeah.
And so that's the way the land lays. So, but for now, for the sake of this discussion, I would like to ask again, as I did right before the break, whether or not Daniela wants to talk a little bit more about sort of the nature of kind of the quality of the beings she's listening to, and then perhaps her interpretation of, you know, of whether you're getting information that is pertinent to now or what.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm assuming the two of you might have the same point of view, but it might be nice for her to say something about this.
Certainly. I mean, I understand as well that, of course, it's always good to hear it from the horse's mouth, because, I mean, and also because I think it's probably worth her giving a little bit of background on herself, because, you know, this hasn't sort of happened in a total vacuum for her. I mean, she's had a lifetime of psychic and supernatural experiences going back to when she was literally a baby in the cot, you know, flying out of her body and flying around the house. So, I mean, you know, literally, you know, so, I mean, for her, it's been a lifetime of peculiar experience, including channeling ascended masters. And so, I mean, really, it might sound to listen at first that this event has happened, you know, in a vacuum, that just suddenly she was whisked back to, you know, the ancient world. But you know, in all honesty, she's had, you know, years and years of bizarre things happening. So, I mean, just to sort of, she could reintroduce that herself. But I'll pass her on now. So,
hello, Carrie. How are you?
Hi there. How are you?
Nice to meet you. Well, yeah, as Bruce said, I've had a lot of these, supernatural experiences since I was a child. Since I was a baby. So it's not something that was completely new to me. However, this particular group of sessions that has been happening here since the 1st of February was completely different to what I've ever had in the past. By profession, I work as a horse broker selling Friesian horses from Holland. But on the other hand, I've always had this ability to know things, see things, feel things. Been working as a psychic, doing mediumship, doing channelings. So I wasn't completely unfamiliar with, you know, this type of event that has been occurring. But the way that these differ from everything else I've experienced was because they were completely involuntary. I had no knowledge of the Mayans or, you know, any of these 2012 predictions or anything like that. I knew a little bit, but I had never studied anything on the topic. I really wasn't that interested. I was basically interested on running my own, you know, horse brokerage business and going about my life when, you know, I feel that this events started to take place, you know, almost in a very rough and very harsh type of way, because, I mean, even from the first experience onwards was completely scary, and it was like literally being ripped apart, feeling yourself being dragged cell by cell through a wall and, you know, sort of waking up on the other side and not being able to return until you're unleashed to come back. Most of these experiences happen at night. Literally, I go to sleep, and maybe even hours can go past, and then suddenly, you know, I find myself there, and then coming back, or sort of Bruce, you know, next to me, sort of saying, "Are you okay? Are you all right?" And I can hear him, like very distant, but, you know, I can't see him, I can't feel him, and he's the one that sort of pulls me back, you know, when he senses that there's danger or I'm going into something that I shouldn't be. In some instances, I remember most of the stuff that has happened, and in other instances, I don't. And, yeah, I mean, in the beginning, you know, it was quite harsh because I remember one morning literally waking up and having two black eyes, so looking in the mirror and being horrified because I thought, oh, my God, you know, if somebody sees me, they're going to think that, you know, Bruce is throwing me around the room or something, you know. So, I mean, the experiences, they, you know, they're very, very hard. I don't know if anyone else has ever had this kind of phenomenon, I guess, happen to them, or how open or psychically developed you have to be. I guess you have to be quite strong mentally to be able to go through this, and sort of, you know, whatever information you get, it must be for a reason. I was not very happy at all about sort of being put into a book and, you know, having my name released and, you know, all this information coming out. So, I mean, it was something that I really wasn't asking for. I mean, from what I knew, Bruce was writing a book years and years ago, when we first met back in 2004. And, you know, I thought, you know, he was just going to write a book on, you know, 2012. But it seemed that somehow the messages started coming out. And, well, we filled the second part of the book with this information. So it was something that was really not planned. It was not something I was sort of looking for. It happened on its own. It's still continuing. We've had many more experiences. There will probably be another book of information. And basically the important thing is that whatever information goes into the book is there as a message. There's no hidden agenda. It's all open. It's all transparent. And basically, you know, what is in the book, the information, the messages that are being given, is to give people a choice to do things differently so that whatever changes come in the future are not taken in a harsh way. They're not taken suddenly, you know, and catch people by surprise, but they're there to help, basically. And that's it. I mean, I'm just a messenger. So that's my participation in the book, really.
Okay. When you were... You were sort of listening to the groups that were talking to each other, right? And you were saying that they were going to, I guess, kind of have a war or some kind of altercation. Is that correct?
Yes.
When you were watching it, were they aware of you? In other words, did you feel that it was in real time, or did you feel you had gone back in time and were invisible to them? How did you feel you're perceived?
No, I mean, I was physically there, but I looked at myself and I noticed that I wasn't me. I was somebody else. I was considerably taller. I was wearing different type of dress than what we wear here. Obviously, I was dressed like them. I was very tall. I had a different body type.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, I saw myself as somebody else, and it felt very real because I began looking at, you know, myself when I saw there were mirrors. You know, I looked at myself, I touched my body. I noticed that I had very, very long hair. And when I was present, they saw me. I mean, they interacted with me, introduced me into the group, then started to speak with me and then did a series of things, which led me to believe that I was physically there living in that time.
Okay. And did you feel that you were what one might call Nordic at that time?
I would say more like a hybrid of mix between a Mayan and a Pleiadian. My hair was black, but I was very tall. So okay. Nordic, no.
Oh, right. Okay, well, yeah, it kind of depends on your interpretation, but it's Nordic is kind of a catch-all in some ways.
Yeah.
But at least it relates to a humanoid as opposed to perhaps a gray, you know, kind of physicality. But, okay, well, that's, you know, very interesting. Now, in terms of the information itself, and I, you know, again, I haven't read your book, and I do apologize for that, and maybe we can sort of have you guys back after I've read it so then I can really go into it with you. But if you were to look at the most recent, like right now we're going up, we're kind of moving very close to the December 21st is coming very, very quickly and beyond. Are there specific incidents that you and, you know, your partner, Bruce, either one of you, and are welcome to answer the question, could you sort of delineate out, like, what they are saying that will be going on from their perspective anyway?
I'll leap back in for a moment. Certainly, I mean, I think the biggest show of all, which they are specifically talking about, is the axial pole shift, and I think without doubt that, to me, stands out as the one that they're really kind of warning us about, which they state that from August the 14th of this year, there would be a kind of ramp up of strong activity earthquake-wise, which would have been an indicator. And we predicted this in advance because we were given a specific date, which people can show online if they like. And, of course, on that day, a 7.7 earthquake hit. So, I mean, it does parallel with reality that we were given. Again, we gave a prediction for this month, the 28th, and we expected that it could be a mixture of storm activity, maybe solar, and also earthquake. And again, we had, of course, the big Canadian quake. We also had, you know, the Hurricane Sandy, which hit, and there was some minor solar activity. So, I mean, the events they've kind of told us are going to happen, and the information that kind of comes recyclingly to us, they are playing out in reality. So, you know, we are inclined to believe that this warning they're giving us about an axial pole shift is also genuine. I can't see what agenda they'd have just to sort of freak us out about saying that there's going to be one and then nothing happens after having shown us accurately these other Earth events. But so they are saying that there will be a shift of between 10 and 30 degrees of the crust of the planet. I've asked whether or not this was to do with a Planet X or Nibiru, because obviously that is often speculated as the causal factor for a pole shift. And I was told, this was in one of the three events where Daniela has acted as what I'd call a trance medium, where Pacal has actually spoken through it to me. This has happened on three occasions. And in these, I've had the opportunity, of course, to ask direct questions. And he has specifically said, no, this is not caused by, you know, any external body. He's never said there isn't any external body. I mean, so it's not, I can't say there is no Planet X coming, but he says that this event is fully caused by Gaia, by the Earth spirit itself, and that even the Pleiadians can't give the exact day. They say, you know, that they're not, you know, God essentially or the Earth itself, but they can give us very close dating predictions to certain events. But they
okay, and then, so what are the very close predictions?
Well, they are saying that for the main event, we're looking at around February next year for the actual, what we call the full shift of the crust. But precursor to that, this year, and we'd all actually say this is slightly overdue, but they are expecting Japan to have an incredible event, which will see at least part of Japan going under the sea. And I know that some of your listeners will be familiar that there are other predictions from other sources saying that Japan will go under the sea, either in part or entirety. We have also been told that the California event should be happening pretty imminently. So, I mean, we expect it to be end of October, early November. But, you know, there is a degree, of course, of, you know, uncertainty with it again. So I would not be at all surprised if in this month we had at least one of the two events, a mega event with either California or with Japan. Japan, you know, is the one I think that to me always seems to feel stronger. I guess it just feels like there's this terrible, terrible thing building up for Japan. I think the energy of that has kind of played out a little bit with what we've seen with, of course, you know, Fukushima and the tsunami there and other events that have been going on with Japan. It does seem like it's a most cursed nation at the moment.
Right. Are you aware that there has been, are you in Canada, first of all?
No, we're in like Ecuador.
Oh, Ecuador. Okay. Well, at any rate, there was, you know, where you were sort of saying there might be something in Canada, I believe, and there has been a 6.3 event tonight, I guess, in what they're calling the sub-abduction zone. So it just happened a little while ago, from what I understand, based on an email that was sent to me that relates information from Mitch Batros's or Batros's site, website, and he's quite good at, you know, saying when things have happened. So I'm just saying that particular thing is happening. But, you know, what's interesting to me, there was also, as you may know, I think it was a 7.7 that happened maybe a week ago in Vancouver area, and there was no real damage accompanying that particular event, which is interesting. And I do know that Mitchell Coombs, I don't know if you know who he is, has predicted a very specific event that is HAARP-induced, that is supposed to happen in California tomorrow, Thursday. This is just according to this this guy who reads HAARP signatures and who has predicted accurately in the past. So there is something going on. There was just also a Guatemalan quake today, I believe. Okay, we'll be right back and continue this conversation. Bye-bye.
Do you experience anxiety on a daily basis? Do you struggle to complete tasks, feel nervous in social settings, or are you losing sleep because of anxiety, worry, or health concerns? Let me tell you about a breakthrough discovery that changed my life. My name is Kirsten, and anxiety plagued me daily. I listened to the wonderful testimonials about RNA drops and decided to use them myself, beginning gradually from just a few drops to the recommended dosage. I'm happy to report that I experienced a significant decrease of anxiety, and that was just the beginning. After you hear the incredible stories at GetMyRNA.com, you can get a free trial-sized bottle valued at $50. Just pay shipping and handling. Again, that's GetMyRNA.com for your free trial-sized bottle today. Nothing is as important as feeling good again. Supplies are limited, so visit GetMyRNA.com right now.
Or see our ad on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. RNA drops.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. BlueShield comes in three models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about BlueShield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the BlueShield banner. BlueShield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
I don't like words that hide the truth. I don't like words that conceal reality. I don't like euphemisms. And American English is loaded with euphemisms because Americans have a lot of trouble dealing with reality. Americans have trouble facing the truth. So they invent a kind of a soft language to protect themselves from it. I'll give you an example of that. When I was a little kid, if I got sick, they wanted me to go to the hospital and see the doctor. Now they want me to go to a health maintenance organization. Smug, greedy, well-fed white people have invented a language to conceal their sins. It's as simple as that. The CIA doesn't kill anybody anymore. They neutralize people. The government doesn't lie. It engages in disinformation. Israeli murderers are called commandos. Arab commandos are called terrorists. Contra killers are called freedom fighters. Well, if crime fighters fight crime and firefighters fight fire, what do freedom fighters fight? They never mention that part of it to us, do they? Never mention that part of it.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom, freedom, American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Revolutionary discovery changes your DNA and restores perfect cells. Listen to Transcension every Saturday at 2 p.m. Central on AmericanFreedomRadio.com.
Must be some kind of way out of here. Say that joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief. Businessman there, drink my wine. Plowman, take my earth. None will let.
Hi there, this is Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot Whistleblower Radio, and we are talking to Bruce Fenton and Daniela. And all about their book, 2012 Rising, and we were just discussing earth changes that are happening now and leading up to 2012, December 21st, I guess. And at the moment, we just had, as I said, a Guatemalan quake that was a 7.4, they're saying. That's just being reported now. So it is interesting. I don't know whether, you know, on a certain level, in other words, we are having earth changes. There's no doubt about it. And it's very likely there will be possibly a pole shift and a magnetic pole shift. We have also gotten that information from various whistleblowers. But I'm not so sure whether or not we are going to have the exact quakes that you know, and changes sort of in the order and in the manner in which it's being described, either by you and your sources or by, you know, others. For example, I think that there seems to be an intervening sort of things that perhaps we can't put our finger on, but something is seems to be intervening in various aspects of things. And maybe part of that is, I believe, human consciousness and how that impacts the possibility of certain events. Now, quakes that are happening as a result of HARP is another matter, because there you have, you know, human intervention and a very direct, intentional kind of thing happening. So, at any rate, what you are seeing and what you are talking about is something towards the end of November, it sounds like, if I got that right, and also maybe were you going to continue into December? Or did you have some events in December that you were perhaps told about?
Yeah, certainly. Just quickly, as well, following from what you've just said, is that our sources also, you know, Pakal has also confirmed what you're saying, which is that some of these quakes, some of the big ones, are indeed, you know, manufactured. So surprisingly, you know, even these sources are saying the same thing. They said, particularly the ones we see in Asia, these are sort of, you know, using either HAARP or alien technologies. That so that there is that factor as well, that this isn't all Gaia, you know, and the Earth spirit, if you like, moving. It's also, yeah, you know, nefarious groups who have their own agendas. So it does indeed complicate the issue when you've got, you know, some quakes that are natural and some that are unnatural. Prediction wise, I mean, yes, certainly we've, there's so the biggest we've had in the past so far with the Indonesian quakes, the 8.6 we predicted in advance. Again, that was one that wasn't harmful, and as you pointed out recently, most of the big ones actually haven't been that devastating. They've hit areas where, for one reason or another, they haven't really done a lot. Even the 8.6 didn't lead to any loss of lives. It's only really seemed to change today with the 7.5 in Guatemala, which, you know, unfortunately has caused some level of devastation and, you know, loss of life. So it may well be that this is, you know, if you like, an unpleasant changing point in what's been happening, that the others in some way have been a warning. The next date, though, that we get, though, is the 17th of November is really leaping out at us particularly strongly. We would expect something in the level of a, you know, a 7 plus, you know, that day or day either side. Possibly you might see, I mean, sometimes it's different, it's difficult to distinguish between an energetic event in terms of, say, a massive tornado or a quake or a huge solar storm. So we tend to go for the earthquakes. It usually feels more earth-based, but on occasion those dates have flagged up for us and then it's been one of those other two. So we do remain open to the fact that when we pick up an energetic event, it's not always, you know, a strong earthquake. It can be another strong event. But obviously we don't leave that too vague, because we like to make it things that people can say, well, yeah, that's a hit, you know, rather than just saying something, you know, something will happen, you know, which is too vague. So yeah, for the end of, towards the end of November, we expect an event right at the end of the month or the very beginning of December. Again, I'd repeat that we sort of feel that the Japan and California could really hit at any time now. And it may even be that that is the 17th of November event, because these are feeling overdue to us. And if you're, of course, you're familiar to you with Edgar Cayce, and of course he also foresaw the Japan event. And there's been a number of near-death experience, sort of people that have also seen the Japan event. So, I mean, we are rock-solid sure that something terrible is going to happen to Japan before the end of this year. So, and I would sort of, you know, put that, I know that, you know, of course, we could be wrong in some way, but I'm very, very sure that something terrible is coming for Japan. Then going into next year, you know, from December 21st, of course, the end of the calendar, again, I would expect events around that date. The 17th of December, Danny's just pointing out, is another date that we've got sort of flagged up for another radical event. And the 21st, there's so much, but of course, and as you mentioned, consciousness, and with so many people focusing on the 21st December, I mean, some events on that date may be, you know, manifestations of expectations of people's consciousness. So, I mean, I wouldn't like to give a particular, you know, prediction for that day, because I think, I mean, with so many people focusing different things on one date, there's going to be a pretty chaotic date in one way or another anyway. But we actually see the pole shift, or have been told the pole shift will not be on that date. And I know that there's other researchers that are, you know, very fixed that, you know, it will be around then. But we're actually getting told that it's more like February, that there's going to be more and more extreme events building up through the end of this year. However, the really bad slip of the Earth's crust comes in February next year. And that will continue through March and obviously ongoing events into 2013. I found it very interesting, actually, listening to your show with the remote viewing, which showed that there was, you know, still incredible events going on, at least in June of 2013, according to, you know, the expert remote viewers. And obviously that does tally with what we're sort of being given, that February, March is when the big show kind of happens, because, of course, with an event of that magnitude, you would expect some ongoing things, you know, for a good 2, 3, 4, you know, possibly longer months into 2013. So by no means should we look at it as that, you know, as soon as we have this event that everything settles down and it's the golden age. You know, I think that we have to sort of be realistic and say that with something as radical as an axial pole shift, and, you know, of course, with magnetic pole shift and other events, which, you know, I talk about in the book, such as this incoming galactic superwave, and the 3 days of darkness, we talk about an event with the sun. So, I mean, really, we're looking at, I mean, I should add as well, December, we see late December as being the most likely target for what has been called the 3 days of darkness event. Again, that could slip into next year, but at the moment, I'm expecting that to be late December. So, I mean, there's some really radical events. And the incoming superwave, you know, which could cause an EMP pulse and knock out our power, and also destabilize solar activity. So that's also looking at for late part of this year, early part of next year. And as we get closer, you know, each month we kind of predict ahead a month, because, of course, I mean, you can probably appreciate, and others out there, that the further you go ahead, the less accuracy. So we tend to try and aim at a month, you know, do a month at a time, in terms of dates wise and more specific events. But we do know that for, you know, February next year, March next year is when we put in that full on, you know, 10 to 30 degree slip of the crust. And then beyond that, events as it begins to settle down, you know, because initially you will have areas rising and falling to make a new equator, basically, for the planet. We have released a map of that. It's on the website, 2012rising.com. If people scroll through, they'll find the pole shift map that we were shown, and that's on there. It's similar to other pole shift maps, but not the same. And I would go back to something you said about that things are changed by human consciousness. And I know that I've compared our map to the I Am America map and also to the Scallion map. And there are some, you know, really obvious similarities, but yet some quite drastic differences. And my feeling on that is that simply that events, you know, have changed because of our consciousness. So over the years since, you know, each map, the next vision that's given to someone is slightly different because Earth is responding in some way to our changes in consciousness. So there is always a bit of flux in these. So there's only some events which we call fixed, and then there's others which are, you know, really being changed by all of us.
Okay, yes. One thing I'm noticing about your particular map is that it's dated 2015. So one would think that some of these changes are going to happen after 2013. And just to clarify that the remote viewers, you know, the live stream I did, what they had seen happens before June of 2013. So everything that they had seen will happen before June of 2013, so that by June of 2013, it's all different. In other words, it's in June of 2013 that all of the evidence, that just happens to be where they targeted to look. So the thing had already happened by then.
Right, okay. That makes more sense then, yeah. Uh-huh. So, I mean, it may well be then that those events possibly did happen in March or, you know, even December this year or early next year then. So
right. It is interesting, you know, to think about it in these terms, but again, it's also can be very misleading. I'm just curious because this map is pretty drastic. If I look at the map that you've got here, and I believe Gordon Michael Scallion's map was kind of was found to be extremely off quite a while ago. So that doesn't really factor in. I think what you've got is the brown is what's remaining. Is if that's correct. That's actually a lot more drastic than what I had seen in other sort of versions.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this was the map that was presented to Daniela by Pacal in one of her experiences. She'd also seen him using what seems to be a kind of a technological device, which depicts our globe in a holographic form and sort of, you know, showing her these changes. But yeah, it is radical. And some of the events, as you note, the map is not dated as 2013. He's giving it as 2015 because as the Earth sort of settles back in a new equator, there are still ongoing shifts. It's not an event which, you know, everything happens and settles down to where it should be. sort of instantaneously as magma moves around in the crust and, you know, a new sort of center of gravity forms and the new equator forms, there will be ongoing shifts of, you know, up and down in different areas. So that's why they sort of presented us with a map that's a bit later on, because I think that gives us a more of an idea of how the world will be long term beyond these events. Whereas if it showed us one for early 2013, that might be quite different, because some of these events won't happen straight away. I mean, we're talking about, as you can see, quite radical shifts in height in certain areas where, you know, the return of, you know, entire continents, essentially, you know, the return of Atlantis, Lemuria, these other places that have gone under the sea, you know, rising back up. And of course, that in itself is displacing water. And then you've got areas that are going down, you know, due to the fact that they've moved away from the equator. So you've got a mixed effect of land going up and down and the various displacements of water in certain areas. So it's a fairly complex picture, but it's certainly, yeah, I mean, it's extremely radical. You know, when I look at that map, you know, and I recognise that, of course, we always have to say that there's a caveat that, you know, I don't know 100% that map is definitely, you know, what's going to happen. But when I look at it, you know, I see essentially pretty much everyone I know being underwater, you know, because, you know, I'm from England and, you know, people I know mostly either in Western Europe or the US. And most of those areas are, you know, gone. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's in personal terms, you know, it's horrific map, you know, so right. I certainly hope that it would not get to that extreme, or that if it does, you know, that we've had a warning where people can get out of those areas, because, I mean, you know, that...
I mean, you know, the size of the United States, I mean, come on, this is extremely drastic. I just have to beg to differ with this map, you know, in terms of... Because I have had visions of the future, I have to say that this is not what I have seen, and I, you know, I, for what it's worth. So yeah. I do understand that this is what you're getting, and you know, we're all here. We're just sort of participating in this grand experiment, and some of this will possibly even happen even in other versions of reality, and so on. So
there's always a scope for, you know, things to change as well, of course. You know, as you said, the consciousness aspect is important. You know, we do, I mean, I certainly believe that we manifest our reality from our consciousness level. So I mean, I believe if everyone, you know, really did shift up a level in consciousness, that probably, you know, none of these events would need to happen at all. And that, you know, it's really, it's, you know, mankind's folly and devastation of this planet that is bringing about most of the unpleasant things, you know. So, of course, there's always that aspect that, you know, if we stop...
Right. Okay, we're going to have another break. Thanks so much. We'll be right back with Bruce and Daniela. Thank you.
Are chemtrail geoengineering programs changing our weather and destroying our environment? Why in the world are they spraying?
They want to create a storm in the southeast, then they'll start engineering out over the North Pacific. That's where the trailies will be.
Find out why critics are calling Why in the World Are They Spraying the most important film that is revolutionizing the environmental movement. Go to whyintheworldarethespraying.com for more information.
It's just going to get worse until the point where we're not going to be able to grow anything at all unless it's a Monsanto genetically modified abiotic stress resistant seed.
Why in the World Are They Spraying? New international version with languages available from around the world. Go to whyintheworldarethespraying.com for more information.
It's all about money, and weather is another form of commoditizing, a way the Central Command Group can commoditize another form of our life.
Why in the world are they spraying?
And if you control the weather, you're going to control the planet. It's that simple.
What would you do if you or someone that you love was faced with a life-threatening illness? My name is Matthew David Hurtado, co-host of Transcension Radio on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. In 2008, I lost everything because of chronic illness, my home, a bankruptcy, even my marriage. A miracle happened in 2009. I discovered Ion and I was introduced to the RNA drops. Within a few short months, the nightmare of chronic fatigue, Lyme's disease, and PTSD was a faded memory. Today, people all over the world have reported incredible testimonials about their transcension process, and I invite you to listen and join us live on air every Saturday at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time. Transcension airs live. You can listen to the archives or tell someone that you love, maybe even the person sitting in your chair right now, that science fiction has become virtual reality at Transcension Radio. Take your power back and join us every Saturday at Transcension Radio.
Nicotine, alcohol, good drugs. Coincidentally, tax drugs. Ooh, how does this work? Thank God they're taxing alcohol, man. It means we got those good roads we can drive on. Because I'll tell you something, I'll be honest, man. If I were going to legalize a drug, it sure wouldn't have been alcohol. Sorry, there's better drugs and better drugs for you. That's a fact. Pot is a better drug than alcohol. Fact. Fact. Stop your internal dialogue. But Bill, alcohol's a... Shut up! You're wrong. Get over it. I'll prove it to you, man. You're at a ball game or a concert and someone's really violent and aggressive and obnoxious. Are they drunk or are they smoking pot? They're drunk. I have never seen people on pot get in a fight because it is impossible. Hey, buddy. Hey, what? Hey. End of argument.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Van, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month, I completely vanished.
Usually, you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Welcome to the world's meeting place. American.
It's practically narcotic.
Freedom.
Oh, yes. I like very much.
Radio.
You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Fabian for Liberty. You can join me every Monday and Friday from 8 p.m. Eastern Time to 10 p.m. Eastern Time only on American Freedom Radio.
Project Camelot, Whistleblower Radio. And just to let everyone know, another update about the TV show. Some people are able to watch it right now. It is going on, I believe, on the West Coast. I'm not sure about the East Coast. Some people are saying they can't get it. They think it's going to be 11 p.m. Other people are wondering if you can stream it. I just sent out a newsletter, and it is posted on our website with a link. Now, I don't know if we're allowed to actually, we're even supposed to be saying that we're, people can stream it over the internet. I don't know when they're supposed to stream it, really, because they informed us about nothing. So, again, I apologize. I don't mean to be misleading people or any of that stuff. I simply don't know what's happening, but I am posting the streaming link. It's already been posted to my front page, I believe, of Project Camelot on my blog, if you just scroll down there. So, yeah, so take your chances and see what you can do. Some people are watching it now. Back to Bruce and Daniela. And we were just talking about the Earth Change map that they've got posted on their site and a possible full shift that may result in something or some facsimile thereof, and talking about different things. I for one, have seen a very different map, and I can say that I do get lots of dreams of the future. Recently, my most recent thing that did come true is that Obama has won the election, as I saw. And the next thing that I have seen is that he will step down, which may sound very strange, but that's what I saw. Under these circumstances, they don't know how that's going to take place, but that's what I have seen. Other things have been shown to me in the future. I can't explain. I mean, you know, it's really interesting how many different perspectives there are on all of this. And, of course, having ETs contribute their viewpoints is a whole nother ballgame. But I can say that your information is very, very interesting. Clearly, you know, you're reporting it as you see it, now as you understand it. And everyone's experience now, to some degree, may be different. I don't know if they're going to be... someone is just sending me a link, just FYI, for what appears to be a free stream on the internet, I guess, from what I can tell, of the show, of our TV show, just FYI. But at any rate, I don't know, you know, how do you classify, again, looking at the United States in that way? I assume that you're in Ecuador because you believe that particular area you're in is a safe area, right?
Yeah, that's fairly fair to say. I mean, we came here for the fact that Daniela's family, you know, she has family here. But we have been told that, yes, that, you know, this is a safe area. And that's why we've remained here. Because, I mean, one of the most obvious things, I suppose, is that much of Ecuador, particularly where we are, is extremely high up. And one thing I know that not just ourselves, but many other psychics have seen in visions, and whether that's connected to the events we see or not, is huge tsunamis of around 500 meters in the near future. Now, whether those are from comet impacts and stuff, I know that in the remote viewing study, they did note some impacts, or whether those are from the pole shift, you know, I can't be specific, but I know that a wide range of people have told me that they've had dreams and visions of these huge tsunamis in our near future. So being at, you know, the heights we're at, we are obviously safe from those events. But of course, that doesn't mean that, you know, we'd be safe from earthquakes and whatnot. So, I mean, we are aware that, you know, in a big earth change event, you know, no one can say, you know, I'm absolutely safe where I am. But yeah, we have been told that this is a relatively safe zone, as long as we were prepared as best as we could be, for sort of earthquake events and solar events and whatnot. I mean, to some degree, I think that, you know, no one will be unchanged by something like a rebirth of the sun, or, you know, extra suns, or 3 days of darkness, or megaquakes. You know, when you start putting all these into being predicted by not just us but others within the next 12 months, you know, I think we'd be naive to say that we felt totally, you know, out of harm's way. But yeah, we do feel that this is a safer zone.
Okay. Now, in terms of, I guess, because it is interesting that you're, at least that map shows it all being established very soon in relative time. That is between now and 2015, as they say. And those are very drastic changes to happen in a relatively short period of time. I had heard that some of this was going to go on until 2019, actually. And so I don't know. Are you seeing anything specific to, for example, the 21st of December? Because that seemed to be a very big bell ringer, at least in the Mayan culture. And actually, you know, I can say that I was in, I went to Belize recently, and in Guatemala at, forget the name of the ruins there, but apparently they had discovered another place where 2012 specifically, and I believe the 21st, was talked about in a kind of codex or Mayan calendar codex. Were you aware of that?
I do talk about some of the prophecies, the specific prophecies for the 21st of December in the book. So, yeah, I'm aware that there are some, you know, actual Mayan predictions for that, you know, the end of the back turn cycle. And that those, again, they do support the idea of a pole shift event and a solar event. I mean, unfortunately, we probably haven't got the time now to read them all out. But the prophecies do talk about, you know, a darkening of the face of the sun, a tumultuous event, which will, you know, cause mountains to fall, you know, and valleys to go up, events where there will be extreme lack of food and water, the coming of something called blood vomit, which sounds awfully like some kind of virus. It talks about, alien visitation, you know, the return of these gods, that these being, and wherever they land, there'll be gifts for people and good lands to live on. It is fairly clear from the way they describe them, they're not humans. I mean, they talk about the prophet talking about himself being carried up in a chalice of fire and being carried over the ocean, when these events are going on, which, you know, of course sounds very much like an alien craft. I mean, there's nothing we can ascribe to the historical, accepted historical Maya culture that we call, you know, a flying chalice fire. So, I mean, in these written prophecies, which mostly are coming from, the ones that I quote mostly are from either the most well-known is the Monument 6 Tortuguero prophecy, but also the Chilambalam books, the people that want to sort of check those themselves. And there's prophecies there for the end of the back turn as well. Those are the ones which are more radical, and they're talking about what certainly sounds like a pole shift and also an event where the sun will be darkened. And this again links in with our supposition that the 3 days of darkness, which I'm sure, you know, many of your listeners have heard about, certainly lately it seems to have been a hot topic, that will most likely be in the late part of December. I mean, you know, I can't promise them that, but that's what it's alluded to in the prophecies, and that is our feeling also, and what we've been given by our sources. So, yes, I mean, and on another side to that, I mean, back in 2009, 10, I think it was, I was went to the 2012 Prophet Conference in Cancun, and we carried out a remote viewing experiment there with a chap who, up to my show, I've forgotten his name, but he's one of the guys from the CIA remote viewing program who does the circuit now, you know, obviously doing talks. And he led a remote viewing of the 21st of December, and quite a number of the audience agreed that what they saw was a kind of darkening of the sky, but it seemed to be kind of in the air, dust or something that had been thrown up, and that there were sort of meteorites or UFOs, some kind of lights flying about. That there was a sense that people had moved from city areas to the countryside, that something radical had happened, had already happened, and that there was also visions amongst people of extra suns, you know, which again relates back to the prophecy of the three suns, which the Maya have and the Hopi. There were, you know, a lot of people seeing new babies born, as though, you know, I don't know if that represented a new age, or really people were having to have more babies because maybe something had happened, you know, that had killed off a population. So it does tie in. So, I mean, again, you know, this is an experiment we had which was specific to the 21st December, and it does tie in with what the Maya tell us, that there'll be some kind of tumultuous event which would have darkened the skies. So though I can't be absolutely sure on what that event is, yes, I mean, my suspicion is we will see something happen between now and then which is going to, at the very least, throw up a lot of dust into the air and darken our skies for some period. And whether that's 3 days or, you know, longer, I mean, again, would be speculation. But, yeah, I'm fairly convinced that we can expect something pretty radical, you know, around that 21st December. I mean, I would like to say it was definitely on that day because, you know, of course, the Maya may have been targeting a date range, you know, but obviously there had to be a day when that system crunches over, but it may be indicating, you know, a central point of an event range. So it may be a few days either side of the 21st. But yeah, that'd be the event that I'm looking at, is the one in relation to a darkening of the sun and some kind.
Okay, we are at the end of the program, and thank you very much, Bruce and Daniela. I'm sorry that we had the competition going here with the TV show, and you know, I'd like to have you on in the future where we could kind of not have that kind of interference for you guys. But I think you got a lot of information out there regardless. So we will be posting this on our archives and encouraging people to watch. So please stay in touch. And thank you so much. Please give your website out real quick.
Great, yeah, thank you. So yeah, people can go to www.2012rising.com and I hope people can speak again, but we thank you very much for having us on. It's really enjoyable.
Thank you. Okay, thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Welcome to the world's meeting place. American.
It's practically narcotic.
Freedom.
Oh, yes, I like very much.
Radio.
You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. BlueShield comes in three models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about BlueShield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the BlueShield banner. BlueShield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. And by the way, it's the same big club they used to beat you over the head with all day long, where they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged, and nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hard-working people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hard-working people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all, at all, at all. Yeah. You know? And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on. The fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream. Because you have to be asleep to believe it.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
No rules.
No rules.
No taboo topics.
No taboo topics.
No fear of doom.
No fear of doom.
We are.
We are.
American Freedom Radio.
American Freedom Radio.